Yeah, a very good evening and you're welcome to Terrace Talk, the first of the month of February. We've ticked past those January nights and somewhat getting some bit brighter out there. Still dark, but it's getting there. It'll be bright at the start of the programme very, very soon. It's Ivan with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Once again, action-packed programme with our men's, ladies and hurlers all in action. We'll review all that in the next hour or two. We'll also talk to the Clarny woman who's just home from her trip to Como, the head of Women Erasmus programme, of course, with the FAI. Clarny coach selected on that. We'll be chatting to her and the head of education with the FAI. And the 1997 World Snooker Champion, he's coming to Barry Desmond. He'll be chatting to us a little later on, Mr. Ken Doherty. Hard to believe it, 30 years next year, Ken Doherty won his World Snooker title. As ever, you can get in touch with the programme, 083 300 3300 with any of your views or anything after the weekend that was in the sporting terms. You can text or WhatsApp that number, or you can give a call, 066 712 3666. And if you're in the farther reaches of the planet, you can also get in touch via email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. So yeah, plenty of Kerry sporting action. One that I'll forget to mention later on, so I'll mention it now, is Clarny's Noel O'Sullivan, of course, winner of the Galway International Rally over the weekend, starting off his defence of the Irish Tarmac Rally Championships. Well done to Derry driver Callum Devine and Clarny co-driver Noel O'Sullivan on that one. It's one that I'll forget to mention a little later on. But we're starting with football, and of course our women played a little earlier today, but we're going to start with the men's team, of course, beaten by Donegal in what was an All-Ireland repeat. I wouldn't say a replay, repeat is the word to use there. Donegal getting the better of the Kingdom 122-118, joined as ever by our former Kerry men Liam Brosnan and John Kennedy. Liam, you've bags under your eyes, you're long off spin home.
It was a good old weekend, Ivan. The result wasn't what it was, but look, at the same time, It was a well worked exercise. The weekend for both us, the supporters, and definitely the management and team.
Yeah, look, it's a long spin, but it is a nice one. It was a good Kerry crowd there looking at the telly from back at home yesterday as well. And you know, it is kind of a nice experience this time of year. I know it's a bit early, but the weather conditions were great and everything else. Good, you know, dry roads for driving and everything else. It's a nice aspect of the league. You get to go up to places like Armagh, Donegal, and previous times the likes of your Tyrones and everything else, Derry. It's a nice experience, isn't it? You usually meet these teams in Croke Park.
It is, and you know, the supporters are wonderful, both the Kerry supporters and the Donegal supporters. We met Fermanagh supporters Saturday night as well. You know, and we had great old chat and banter, and you know, there's a great, I suppose, love, and kind of we all love the same thing, really. It's the GAA, and it's no matter where you go, no matter where you travel in the world, if you can talk to GAA, you will meet someone who'll sit down and talk with you. And like the Donegal supporters, I suppose they were disappointed, all right. That's the one thing, when David Clifford never showed up. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of them, there were a lot of young kids there.
Bill John Kennedy for that.
Yeah. That's the one thing. But they said, and they asked the next question, and was Paddy there? And we said, no. And you could see that next thing, Yashani Shea there. And then they were happy with that. You know, but it just shows, you know, what it means, these guys, to even outside of Kerry.
Yeah,
they're big names, but look, it's David was a bit of a loss, all right, for the supporters the weekend.
Yeah, superstars in the role, most definitely. John, I suppose from a game point of view, it was probably one that we were looking at in the calendar, obviously so early, given our club's involvement so late on. You're missing the likes of Gavin White, Shane Ryan on top of the lads playing the thing. So it was kind of that game was very, very early in the league campaign for Jack O'Connor and the Kerry team. So I suppose a 4-point defeat is never something that should be, I suppose, celebrated is the wrong thing, but you know, you should be always disappointed in defeat. But a 4-point defeat was kind of a hard-earned, maybe run out 70 minutes. That's kind of what Jack was summing up after as well.
Yeah, I think so, Ivan. And we saw Donegal. We felt last week that Donegal were a bit ahead fitness-wise in Kerry. You know, I think the team Donegal put out, they meant they were looking for the 2 points. I think that Jack would have learned more from yesterday than he did from the Roscommon game.
Yes.
You know, I think it was you're above in Ballyshannon, a tight pitch, crowd in on top of you. Donegal looking for, even though they mightn't say it, revenge for that All-Ireland final defeat. A lot to play for. I think an evidence of how serious they were was, you know, when they brought in Ryan McHugh and Oisín Gallen, you know, Michael Murphy. It showed that they wanted the 2 points. It looked midway through the second half that it could be, you know, an 8 or a 10 point defeat. Mm-hmm. But we dug deep, to be fair, and you know, I suppose we'll speak about Lesran Shawnee Shea's display.
Yeah,
an exhibition of kicking, really. And outside of that, I thought that his body language, his commitment, his desire, and you know, football wise, but he got stuck in as well. He wasn't afraid to get stuck into those fellas, and that was good. It shows that his leadership, and others came and responded to it. But you know, a lot of positive stuff for Kerry. You know, this is a team that are going to be thereabouts come the business into the season. Donegal, there's no question about it. And I think that Jack will be quite happy coming down the road last night.
Yeah, standout performance from Shawnee O'Shea. Liam, we kind of mentioned here, might have been on air or off air, that you know, we didn't see a huge amount of him against Roscommon, but again, this one he really stepped up. And I think Tony Broston as well, to be fair, between the two of them, they got the majority of the Kerry score as well. So, you know, in defeat you can always take those positives.
It's great when you see the likes of Shawnee. Like last week, you were kind of looking for him at parts of the match, but you could see this weekend he took the mantle of leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the first half when things weren't going right, he was getting on a lot of ball. He was after kicking 3 points. You know, he was really trying to get Kerry going when we were fighting an uphill battle at times. And I do think Tony Broston as well, definitely in the first half. Now, I think Tony just when you're missing so many players, you're looking for guys to step up to the plate,
yeah,
and take a bit of responsibility. And I think Tony did that as well. Now, he took shots yesterday that he normally wouldn't take with Kerry. Now, there was a few that he missed, but I think he ended up with 6 points. You know, so we need a little bit more from the likes of Tony in that side of it. But you know, the way I kind of summed it up with the lads coming down the carrier, it was like doing, you know, your mock maths exam without a calculator. Because you know, yeah, that you have something in reserve, and that's what we had. Mm-hmm. I think we passed that test yesterday. Now, Donegal, you could see after, probably a small bit disappointed. They didn't say it, but they thought that they were going to give us a bit of a trouncing yesterday with the team they put out, and when they saw what we were missing. And to be fair, like John said, at times it looked like it was going to happen, but with the new rules and the 2-pointers, it just shows that it can keep teams in the game, and that's what happened to us. The 2-pointers yesterday, was a Shawnee kick, five 2-pointers in the whole match.
Four Shawnee and two.
Four
Tony,
Shawnee,
yeah,
and two Tony, Tony, yeah. Like, but it just shows you, like, that if we keep tipping away and keeping the game, because to be fair, in the first half it was our kick out. We just could not win a ball around the middle of the field, and we were living off scraps. But you could see what Donegal were doing, and I said it to Joe at half time. They played four across the 21-yard line on our kick out. They played three behind them, and then they laced across the, you could say, between the halfway line and our 65 with four of their biggest men. Mm-hmm. No, you had McGee, you had Hugh McFadden, you had Michael Langan, and this Kieran Gallagher, number 26, that started instead of Ryan McHugh. They were all 6'4", 6'5". So it was just a monster line across the middle. And the thing, what I felt was, we were, one, getting the ball on the tee quick enough to hit that easy pass between the two lines. But Shane, to be fair, in the second half did that, and like right up to the 60th minute, and I could hear the stats boys beside me, because they were standing beside me, he radioed down and he said Kerry are 8 from 8 from their kickouts when we were starting to come back into the game. So it just showed when we were getting the kickouts right, we were putting them under pressure.
Yeah, I think we lost 5 in a row at some stage in the first half. Just back to Liam's point there, John, about Donegal kind of being maybe somewhat disappointed after, maybe not saying it, but that kind of feeling of disappointment, you can kind of see why. I think it was 10 of their starters in the All-Ireland final were starting yesterday, and there was only, it was at 4 or 5 from Kerry's perspective. So that kind of gulf straight away in that sort of experience, you can kind of see even from the Kerry team, and the subs that were made were all kind of fresh faces as well. So that's another kind of positive from Kerry, and again, trying to pick out positives out of a defeat, but that definitely is a positive. You're seeing kind of new lads coming in up against a team that, you know, 10 of the 15 from the All-Ireland started as well, from a Donegal perspective.
Yeah, definitely, Ivan. And I think, you know, the physical power of Donegal, they're huge men,
yeah,
you know, great athletes. Michael Lanning in the middle of the field, like, he kicked 2 2-pointers there, but the power of them. But for our newer players, we'll say, particularly like the Tomás Kennedy coming up against Brendan McCall, one of the best fullbacks in the country.
Mm-hmm.
He'll learn from that, you know. I think that if we went out with our All-Ireland team and we went up there yesterday and we came away with a victory, you wouldn't learn as much because you're playing the tried and trusted. Mm-hmm. But you're playing guys now that are playing for positions. I thought when Liam Smith came in, he did really well, caught a few great balls.
Killian Trent did well for Trent. He worked really hard.
Mm-hmm. Sean O'Brien going off injured was a loss. Armin Heinrich at wing back, he's growing with confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, we hadn't won a kick out for a bit, and he won a great kick out independently. Went up and kicked to score.
Yeah.
That's great confidence for these guys above in the cauldron of Ballyshannon against a team that are really rated. And I think that there's no place to learn better than to learn when you're playing the best. And Donegal had a very good, strong team out yesterday. But what relevance will that have later on down the road? Nothing, really. It'll have no relevance in the championship. But the one thing we'll say about it is, and we spoke off air, Donegal haven't gone away. The hunger is there. The desire is there. And, you know, I suppose you add into the mix the Mayos and the Galways, Armagh's, Kerry, of course. You know, it's going to be intriguing. Already, we're only two rounds into the league, but the levels of fitness by teams, you know, the way they're changing their game plan around to suit the new rules, the long kicking has come into it again. And it's amazing. We didn't try too many times yesterday, Liam. It would have been nice to get a few big ones in on Tomás Kennedy just to test out the Donegal defence. But look, that's for another day. But I think that, you know, you could see Jack's body language after. He wasn't too disappointed. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that they'll be quite happy. And, with how competitive the league is, you know, winning the home games, winning the odd game on the road, but this was always one that we've marked down as a difficult one, regardless what personnel were out.
Yeah, and again, so early in the campaign as well. It would have been a nice one, Liam, if there was something maybe on the line, if the winner got to a league final or something later on as well. You mentioned there about kind of Donegal being maybe somewhat disappointed. I'd imagine Jim McGuinness will be going back into training this week and kind of, you know, they have their weekend off as well next weekend, don't they? I think every team's off next weekend. You know, would kind of probably want to see more from their lads as well, because you said it seemed like they was expecting to be kind of a big beating for Kerry up there.
Yeah, look, they'll be disappointed in a few aspects, all right. I think what they were really disappointed with was they were giving away a lot of handy frees. But I think there was an interview from one of their management team that they felt that Kerry kind of were very physical in the All-Ireland final. So Donegal were looking at that side of it. And they did come out physical yesterday. And, you know, probably at times they gave away a lot of handy frees and the genuinely war frees. You know, so, and it kept Kerry in the game. You know, so they'd be disappointed with that kind of a thing. But look, it's 2 points. I'm sure Jimmy McGuinness won't be long moving on from this. He knows that Kerry went up with a weakened team. No, so, and there'll be work from both sides. No, you even Kerry there. Mm-hmm. And we look at, say, Jason Foley. No, his game yesterday was better than the Roscommon game. I see Joe O'Connor is slightly improving as well. So as games go by, fellas will be getting sharper and they'll be getting fitter, and that's across the board, because we see the games the weekend. There's going to be nothing between teams. No, I think there's only two teams out in 4 points, and the rest are on two, bar the boys and the bears in the bottom. And if you were asked to pick an All-Ireland winner, I know people will say Kerry at the moment, but like, they're in the whole pile between the rest of the teams out there.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. And even you can add Kerry into that group of nothing between anyone, really, which is great, and it's a good thing for the game itself. You mentioned the new rules, John, and Kerry really utilising the 2 point yesterday. I think we mentioned 6 in all, 4 for Shawnee and 2 for Tony. Like, what was a 6 point score is now a 12 point swing, and it, maybe if you go back to 2 years ago or the year before that, whatever else, you could have been beaten, you know, by more above than Donegal. But to see us get 6 2-pointers is good shooting.
Oh, great shooting. And Shawnee was, there was an advantage with one or two of them, mm-hmm. and they had the shot and it came to nothing. But they always knew they had the free to come if it didn't go. But David Kolsick was refereeing, and like we've said this before, the top refs, they no matter how intense or how competitive it is. There was a lot of hard hitting in that game.
A lot of hard hitting yesterday.
Did Kolsick use cards? Did he get... No. He used common sense. And I know that people often tell me after the programme they meet me during the week, there's no common sense in the GAA, in the rules. But I mean, the referees that are... The top referees have the respect that players know they won't get away with it, but they win hard and fair. And he refed it as a player yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he gave the advantage, came back, did his job. If there was a card to be given, he gave it. But... But the kicking by Shawnee, a 7 or 8 point lead now. We spoke about it off early and myself.
Not a lead anymore, Jen.
No, if Donegal were up 2 or 3 years ago by 8 points, it was done and dusted.
Yeah.
But like, we even we felt they were on top, you knew Kerry had a chance. And those 2 or 3 two-pointers, you're back in the game. And that's, it has, we're repeating what we've said here over a few weeks, the new rules have transformed the Gaelic football, and certainly the two-pointers, you know, they're a joy to see, you know. The kickers are getting a chance to express themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think, and the other thing, Ivan, that we're going to see over the next few weeks is performances of different players in all the counties, but we're talking about Kerry, is some performances will lift and more will go back. It's due to the training now. There'll be training blocks going on. I'd say in the next 2 weeks there'll be a lot of work done, and we could see some of these guys come out a lot sharper in 2 weeks' time than they were now, because it's all about peaking. We got it spot on last year in Kerry, you know, for the championship, and it's all about peaking at the right time, and the levels of fitness and the work that goes in, and the commitment that's there is incredible, and we've seen it already. Look at all the games at the weekend, you know, the Mayo game, look at Meath and Cavan right at the end. Meath pulled out a great victory,
Galway,
so it just goes to show it's gone to another level.
Donal Sullivan, nice to see kind of a new name getting a goal for Kerry as well. Liam, I know it kind of came late, but Kerry had kind of another chance after that to go up the field as well. It would have been like the game against, was it Derry last year, with all the goals towards the end, but took it well after a bit of a scramble, and Kerry, you know, probably had another good, maybe one good chance after that for a goal as well. It's good to, I suppose, even with 2 points and everything else, 6 points can come from two goals very late as well. And when you're watching the buzzer, especially now, there's no time to delay.
Yeah, and it probably was our only chance of a goal, really.
Yeah.
And towards the end, when we started kicking the ball into the square, no, we caused them a lot of trouble when Shawnee moved in. Mm-hmm. We never did it in the first half. But then on the other hand, we just couldn't get our hands on possession in the first half. And it just break down very easily. And when we got our hands on the ball, Donegal were hitting us hard. I don't know if you could see it on TV, but every time a Kerry player moved, he got a belt.
Yeah.
Not like, and especially Joe O'Connor now. Joe O'Connor, Shawnee and Tomás Kennedy got very close attention, the three of them. No, and you could see they were pinpointed, all right. They were pulling the jersey, they were hitting them belts of shoulders. Nothing, no closed fists or anything, but they were getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see Dunne hitting the back of the net. He seems to be going out, that's coming off the bench, and he's trying hard, and you know, he's holding his hand up there to be noticed anyway, and hitting the back of the net yesterday will definitely do him no harm. But I think it was just, we were going well in the first half. We were holding on to Donegal in the first half. We were staying touching distance and everything. The 28-minute Shane Murphy had a great save. I think Shawnee Shea cleared it off the line. And then Darrell Braille got an injury. This is what happened. And the physio ran on and he had to come off the field. And when he came off the field, you can't go back on then until there's a break of play. Mm-hmm. But what happened was Donegal got a free at the far side of the field and he ran in. And none of the Kerry, like people were saying, how was he inside alone? And they were making a show of how the defence, but what happened, he ran in behind them, he was off the field for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And they never spotted him and he was inside all alone. You know, so it just shows small little things like that, you know, can cost you.
Which was some finish by Darrell Beale, to be fair. Shane Malone, I think that was one of the Donegal's pointings, he was inside, but the ball was worked him, but there was a lot of work to do when he got that, and the way he sidestepped Shane Murphy and put it with his right foot into the net, it was a great finish.
And it gave the supporters as well fierce oxygen.
Yeah. Oh, sure, of course.
Because they were fairly flat until that, but when the minute hit the back of the net, the whole place lifted. And Ballyshannon is a kind of a ground, very like Ossenstack Park. It's a fine field, but the crowd.
They were indeed on top of it,
Crowd on top, which is great for an atmosphere. And you could see then after that they were buying for blood, and they wanted more than after that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Lads, we have to go for a break. Get your comments, there's plenty coming in this evening. 083-300-3300 is our text or WhatsApp, or you can give a call at 066-712-3666. We'll be back for more analysis of Kerry against Donegal after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action, this is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Rightio, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Time to get to some of your comments, and thanks as ever for getting in touch. Afternoon of the two managers, Jack will be slightly happier considering the strength of both sides. What is alarming though is issues from the Roscommon game not addressed, namely players in isolation and more so kickouts. With a plethora of players to come back from Dingle on Gaeltacht, plus the likes of Dermot Graham and Bo Cliffords, as well as Shane Ryan, the opportunities to impress are diminishing fast. I mentioned Broderick last week. Maybe he should be given a stint. Regardless, we expected 2 points from two games. We are where we expected to be. And yeah, I think, John, that's a valid point as well, that, like, you know, we are where we expected to be. We did say here last week, the home games are absolutely crucial. And again, travelling to Donegal, travelling to Armagh, it's not easy. You're up there maybe the night before, or a different bed, everything else. You know, it isn't easy. There are long journeys and everything else. And when you're going to Croke Park then to play Dublin, it's tricky. So you're looking at your games against Galway, Mayo and Monaghan, those other three games. Like, if you can get your maybe 8 points from your home games, you should be well set to stay in Division 1, and potentially with a win or two away from home, you'd be guaranteed a league final place then.
Yeah, Division 1 status is crucial, that's number one. And after that, then if you have enough of points to get to league like we did last year, but it's you know, there's going to be mistakes in the first few games. You've new guys coming in, it takes time, it's an unsettled team, and you can see the established guys how they did yesterday, you know, the experience, that bit of composure. They're not really going that extra yard to impress. And sometimes we've all been there when you're trying to impress and you're working that bit harder, 'tis then you're going to make mistakes. Mm. And let's not forget, you were up against McFadden and Michal Lanigan in the middle of the field, two of the best midfielders in the country. Killian Trent worked extremely hard, Sean O'Brien going off, then Liam Smith coming on. 'Tis all disruption, but we did come to terms with it, to be fair, like Liam said. We did come to terms, and you're not going to dominate kickouts all through against quality teams. And if you don't win the kickout, it's the breaking ball, and we certainly up that. But overall, happy enough. And I think the Roscommon result yesterday had a big bearing as well, because some people were saying, how good were Roscommon, mm-hmm. missing the Bridges contingent? But they had a fantastic win against Monaghan. And you know, the lads that did well in Killarney, they did well again yesterday. And Inda Smith was very impressive in the 40 for him. You know, it goes to show there's no easy games in Division 1.
No, there definitely isn't. That's why you want to stay there
I suppose the league as well, like John said, teams have different fitnesses. Mm-hmm. Now, you could see Donegal had probably that little bit more done yesterday, and your listeners think there how we got isolated, and you put yourself in that player's shoes, mm-hmm. that when you have two or three fellas coming at you who have that little bit more fitness, and you're stuck in a corner, and then there's fellas around, it's different. So you're going to have situations like that, especially in early league games, because you could see Kerry maybe just not, and Roscommon last week had that little bit more than us as well. So we'd be hoping game by game, like usually the Isle of Ireland champions always kind of struggle to get out of the tracks early, in the league, you know, down through the years. Mm. And look, to be fair, the Roscommon game was a huge game for us to get the 2 points. We always had a kind of a red mark under this one, so we're looking forward to Galway coming to town out in 2 weeks' time. Now that's a home match again for us. Hopefully, according to a couple of the interviews with Jack last weekend, we'll have one or two players back. I think from now on you'll see strong Kerry teams put on the floor.
And that getting the 2 points early was so important. And again, All-Ireland champions, and you'd all the clubs going so far as well. I thought that the Kerry match was very entertaining. John was correct on the new rules. Good man, John. They have made the game so much better. Bring on Galway on the 14th. It's going to be a cracker in Tralee. We were just chatting outside actually before we came on, John. Disappointing it's not kind of at, you know, 7 o'clock real under the lights. I think the Galway game, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's one of them at 4, and I think the Mayo game is at 5, or maybe vice versa. Still be kind of evening time, but that kind of real darkness under the Ossetic Park lights, there's something about it, isn't there?
There's something about it, Ivan. We've spoken about that in speaking to supporters, you know, being in there early, 2 hours before the game with families inside and music playing and the, you know, the lights on. A crisp evening and you're caught, but it's brilliant, the atmosphere, no matter who you're playing. I think it's special, and it's a pity, but look, that's I'm not sure why it's on
scheduling
early.
And television, you know,
scheduling and stuff like that.
They'll switch on the lights for you, lads. Don't worry, they'll switch on the lights as well.
We'll have to put a GoFundMe together or something. The throw-in for the start and at the second half are now proving vital, and it's costing us scores. That's from Paul. Yeah. It is a crucial, that kind of first bit of possession, maybe particularly if you're away from home, is probably vital, isn't it?
But you're laying down a marker, and I think teams are looking at that now, of how they can get scores off it. You know, so yeah, he's dead right. It's a big play now.
Can you ask Liam, did Donegal give us a guard of honour?
No guard of honour. No.
Probably should have been in the first game, if anything.
Just, I think it's usually just the first game, isn't it?
Yeah, but Roscommon didn't give us one either.
Yeah. No guard of honour.
More of it.
We've won too many times, they're tired of it.
Where were the linesmen who allowed the Donegal player sneak in behind our defence? Was that goal legal from Tom Enright Tarbert?
Yeah, it's legal.
Once
the player stops, he can enter the field. Yeah.
It was just for whoever was meant to be marking him to see that he was coming back on the field and whatever else. Hive and Kerry made Donegal work hard for their win. Kerry only had 4 scores yesterday to Donegal's 11 scores. It would be better to have more scores. That's from Charles. Charles is right in that as well, John. You know, the spread of scores wasn't huge yesterday, and that's why we're kind of probably pinpointing Tony Brosson and Seanan Shea as well. But again, it's tough going, and you needed those kind of leaders to step up and take the scores, and seeing Seanan get 11 and so many from the dead ball as well is also important in a day where scores maybe weren't too forthcoming from the rest of the 15.
No, Charles is spot on, and I think, you know, the lack of scoring from play is a worry, to be fair. You know, it shows how strong the Donegal defence was. We had 4 scorers. Donegal had 11. But look, it's early days, as we said, and it was. Look, Liam knows it, and anybody up there saw it. It's so difficult to get scores against that hard hitting. It was that type of a game that there was hitting
winter time
on and off the ball,
underground conditions.
And both sides were at it now. And in fact, that's why you give credit to Caldrick. Both sides were at it. And he let it go, because it was real. It was played at Championship forever, to be fair. You know, and you could see that when the game was in the melting pot, then McGuinness started using the bench. He didn't want to lose the 2 points, regardless what personnel was out.
Yeah.
You know, but I would agree with Charles. I think that 4 scorers is something that Jack will look at, but I've a feeling it isn't a big worry. You know, later on we'll have more of a spread.
Yeah, we saw a good spread against Roscommon as well, didn't we? Boys, what are you talking about? Lovely supporters. I was in the crowd yesterday and I saw distinctly Donegal supporter booing Kerry players. Analysis should be unbiased. Well, 1 of 9,000 booing the Kerry players. Look,
you'll always have a handful.
There's always going to be one, isn't it? The most famous ad had that years ago. Look, it's not nice in the game, but anyone might try to use their home advantage to the best possible. I'm sure there's some people in our crowds as well when teams come to town that mightn't be too welcome either. But overall, in general, I just find Donegal a fantastic county to go to. The people there are brilliant. We go up to soccer twice a year and couldn't be nicer people up there, really.
Yeah, very, very genuine, Ivan. You know, love their football. You know,
they know their football.
And
as
they
well,
know their
fairness.
Football, and actually love Kerry football. You know, so that's a big thing as well. Yeah. They love, so.
And after such a journey, it's nice to get that sort of welcome as well, isn't it? When you kind of land up and there's people chatting about, you know, Kerry and everything else. It's nice to, when you do get up there after a long haul spin, it kind of freshens you up again.
Without a doubt, and Ballyshannon. We were talking to a couple of their stewards that were there before the match, and they were very proud that the match was on there, because their capacity was only about 5,500 up to a couple of months ago. They're after doing a big job up there. Yeah. It's up to 9,000 now, and in a couple, they reckon in the next year or two they'll have it up to 12,000 or 13,000. They're doing great work up there. I remember I played up there in 2000 and it wasn't half the pitch it was. it is a lovely stadium now, and there's great credit to them.
Yeah, it's great to see club grounds coming on like that as well. Hi to all. Seanan O'Shea pulled Kerry over the line. He had some great 2-pointers. Also, Tony Brosson had some good 2-pointers at different angles, which was great to see. The 3 boys at the back should stay below. What are they running up the field for and falling over and leaving an easy goal in for Donegal? There's enough up the field. They should look after their own corner. Will they ever learn? They did the very same at Roscommon. The young boys need a lot more experience at this level, I think. It's time now to bring on the Clifford boys and and the Dingle boys and the Gaeltacht boys and Graham O'Sullivan. We need to start putting points on the board now. That's from Eilish in Tralee. And I think we've been kind of fair in that point, John. Like, you know, we're expecting a kind of a gradual return to action for a lot of these players. You're expecting the first couple of league games, we've pointed out already, were going to be the kind of trickier ones, the stickier tests. And, you know, you're bringing up a lot of youth and inexperience up to Donegal. Again, the team that have a vendetta out for you after an All-Ireland final last summer as well. So, again, plenty of time for learning and plenty of time to bring your big boys back towards the end of this league campaign as well.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt, Evan. I can see Alicia's point there, you know, and it's valid. But you look, we had a lot of experience. We have a lot of good lads. You go through that 15, you know, these guys are there on merit. And you can look at this two ways. If Jack O'Connor put out his best 15 in his All-Ireland team going up yesterday, there'd be people saying, you should give some of the lads a chance to see what he has under the bin, under the 15. It's early days. He'll integrate those back into the team. There's no question or doubt about it. And the experience they'll gain from these games, the pace, the intensity, the ferocity of it, like, is and with, you know, balance that with getting up to the level of fitness. There's a huge step up from club championship to inter-county league, not a mind championship. And I think this will benefit these lads. Every one of those got game time yesterday. You know, I was looking at Liam Smith there near the end. He was out of gas. He was after a run. And it'll tell you that's what it takes. And Liam did really well. You know, maybe a bit disappointed not to start, but came in and did his job. And that goes to show that's what we got last year from the lads that came in and actually played in the All-Ireland final in the middle of the field. That's what it's about.
What you're really looking for here, Ivan, the same as any sport, no, right, this might be your starting 15 for in the championship, but any of these guys that came on yesterday, you'd feel comfortable of bringing them off the bench to do a job for you for 10 or 15 minutes, or maybe starting, because you'll have a lot of experienced players around them. Usually in games like this, that you'd have a lot of inexperience. And I agree 100% with John. Now, if we started a strong team yesterday, people would be saying, sure, now's the time to do it. So he did it.
There's a balance,
And I'm looking at all these names here, the likes of Evan Looney, who did come on last year and did his role no bother at all. The likes of Aaron Heinrich had a fantastic game yesterday. He's a guy that'll come in and fit seamlessly. Killian Trent is growing into the Kerry jersey now as well. No, he's a guy that you could see Jack Hughes. So all these guys, and there's several more that you're building your squad, and now is the time to build your squad for the championship.
And we showed how badly we needed as well last summer when we had that injury crisis in the middle of the campaign,
right,
and kind of got us, those young fellas got us back into it and went on to win the All-Ireland as well. Lads, you have to go for another quick break, but we'll be back with plenty more from the Kerry Donegal game after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now you're welcome back to the programme. Hi, even when the championship comes around and the panel is a little short and experienced players, these players who want to be winning all games will now be complaining as to why most players are not available. And that's another good point. That's the risk of injury and everything kind of this time of year is a bit higher, and we are just back and back into training and everything else, and fellas have to be away on holidays and all sorts. It is, and the pitch conditions and everything else are tougher. So dead right that if someone is comes to summer and someone gets injured, we've no one to bring on because they haven't got the experience. That's important too, Liam.
It is, yeah, and I think that's the way kind of Kerry are going since the McGrath Cup. A lot of young guys after coming in, or guys that we know. Look, realistically, we know what David Clifford brings to the table. We know what Paddy brings to the table when come the summer. We know that when Joe Connor gets fitter, what he's going, and Shawnee Shane, all these guys, is to fill in the blanks around all these guys. Jason Foley, you know, and that's what we did last year. We had guys that were able to step up to the plate, and there's no bigger grounding or no bigger learning lesson for young guys coming in. Like Tomás Kennedy, you know, like, had a tough day in the office yesterday. That's a learning curve, because every step he made sideways, he was met with something, even when the ball wasn't near him. So he'll be learning from that. Balls that were kicked in battling, he'll be getting cuter. He'll be learning how to use his backside a bit more. Not small little things like that he'll take away from the game. And that's the only way you learn, playing these games.
Yeah.
And
mostly, apart from Jason Foley, he was coming up against the best fullback in the
without
country.
Without a doubt, yeah.
And like this thing is, it's a learn, like you said, it's a learning process for him. He'll have learned learned more from that yesterday.
Yeah.
This is only his second league game, to be fair. And he was playing on a team that were being beaten in the middle of the field. So he learned from that.
Another guy yesterday now who fitted in nicely when he came on in the second half, Charlie Keating. Strong young fella, don't know, didn't look out of place. Small little things like that that the Kerry management will be looking at.
Yeah, and again, come the championship time and you're playing, you know, three group games or whatever else the format might be, and you might have to have a couple of fellas out injured or whatever else, these fellas want those games. And that game in Donegal where they were thrown in the muck by one of the Donegal fellas, that'll be in the back of their heads.
And they'll know they're fitter as well. Come the championship, these guys are going to be 10 times fitter, so that, and they'll be more confident from playing games like this.
And if we look at what Jack is doing as well, he put Killian Trent in the middle of the park yesterday. He's obviously looking at guys to do a job later on in the championship. You know, if the opportunity, he played wing back, so he's trying fellas in different positions, giving fellas game time so that he'll know when it comes. You have to be confident when you look behind you as well in a game. If there's an injury or a guy out of gas, am I confident putting this guy in? That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and that kind of getting that Kerry jersey, Liam, I never got one for football, I'll tell you that, but like, you know, that kind of first time getting one, that's clear. It's kind of the family knowing you're going to be making your Kerry debut or whatever, so you came on. It's nice to get all that kind of done early doors, that when it comes to championship, it's not just another jersey. I'm not going to say that, but it's kind of a case of you've done it already, and that, again, this kind of league format and everything else that kind of allows for that they've made their Kerry debut, that's kind of out the window then when it comes to a bigger game when they might have to come on.
It is, Ivan. And look, every time, and John will tell you this, every time you put on the Kerry jersey, you get butterflies, you know, and that's fantastic because it's a pro jersey. It's a heavy jersey to wear, because when you don't do it, you'll be told about it.
Yeah.
You could be told at home just as quick as you'd hear from the stands. But the thing about it is that like we said, the league is where you build up your bit of experience and build up your bit of knowledge and bit of cuteness. And you could see Donegal yesterday, all those guys, like, you know, when they brought on like some Michael Murphy and Ryan McHugh and these guys, you know, if you were a young fella and you see these fellas running at you, you'd say, Jesus, but in 6 or 7 weeks time, or maybe 2 or 3 months time, you know, that you have that built up in your bank, you'll be able to use that.
Stand to you.
It'll stand to you.
Yeah, most definitely. And like that, Galway coming to town to Ostag Park in 2 weeks time, which will be exciting, one to carry footballers off next weekend. It's going to be a quick turnaround for the ladies, though. They're out against Meath on Saturday away from home after playing today. Again, Bank Holiday Monday. Great to see a great crowd there as well, and plenty listening to John and I'd imagine Breda on the radio as well. Delighted to be joined by Breda O'Shea. Unfortunately, Kerry going down 2-12 to 1-11 to a Waterford side today in Fitzgerald Stadium. Breda, you're welcome to the programme. Where did it go wrong for Kerry today?
It's not so much where it went wrong. Waterford came with an aggressive running game, and like we knew that, and in the last couple of years Waterford has been pushing us, and look, they got the rub of the green today. Last year in the Munster final, we got the rub of the green against them, so there is very little between these two sides. But what I would say on Kerry's side of it, it's more what they can learn out of today going on in the championship. And a bit like I heard you speaking earlier, this is just the second game in. It's about peaking later on in the season. We don't necessarily want the girls running out onto the field today, bursting a gut and winning all in front of them in January and February. We want that later in the season. So it is to trial these new girls. It is to get players into different positions. And with the new rules, it's trying to adjust to all that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, I think that, as you said, comparing to the men's, it is important to kind of, you know, the early stages of these are kind of finding your feet a small bit, and obviously retaining that Division 1 status is key. But we saw last year, I suppose, we're maybe a small bit greedy after getting to league finals and everything else so early on. You're kind of automatically looking for that as well. But obviously a new game as well, Breda, with the new rules and everything else. So that all takes time to sort of adjust into a competitive atmosphere where we're watching them on telly or heading to Fitzgerald Stadium to be able to talk about their matches as well. So it all comes very fast.
It is, and you see, these new rules have broken down the defensive systems that Kerry had prided themselves on the last couple of years. And Waterford did exploit that today at different stages, and especially in that first half when they got that opening goal 5 minutes in. So it really shows what has to be worked on. And we've seen that all through last year, especially with the men's when they brought in this rule, that it has opened up the attack, but it's the defence has to get back to maybe basics of where they are marking, man marking again, or woman marking, as we would say in the ladies. So it's just little things that need to change. But one of the aspects that I do think that they will be working on, especially heading into the meet game, is the amount of ball they brought into the tackle and then they lost in the tackle. So that did surprise me today, even compared to last week. Last week we saw them that they looked fresh, that they were running off each other's shoulder waiting for that pass, whereas today they seemed, that didn't seem to come off as well for the ladies. So look, this is a hard slog for them. They had Dublin last weekend, they had Waterford this weekend, they had Meath next weekend, then they have a break of, I think it's 1 week or 2 weeks. So this will be a hard slog on them, especially after doing heavy training in December and January to get back into fitness.
Yeah, there was some questionable decision making by the referee, but again, we're kind of sort of giving them a bit of a break, getting used to new rules as well with both the men's and the women's game now as well. It's hard, I suppose, to keep everything in the head, isn't it?
It is, and you see, I suppose, and we discussed this last week above in Dublin, John Drummy and myself, when we were on air, that it is very much going to take a couple of games and seeing different refereeing styles as to how they are going to interpret the new rules on the tactical side, on the tacking side of the ladies' game. Because, you see, I suppose a lot of people didn't realise before, ladies' football was technically a non-contact sport. You were only supposed to tackle the ball when the ball was away from the body. Whereas now they've changed that. But even in trying to read out the rule that they've come out with, it leaves it wide open for interpretation, that now you are allowed to tackle when the ball is in at the body. But then again, that depends on each ref as to how aggressive you can do that.
Yeah, no, 100%. Windy conditions there in Fisher Stadium. I stood outside the house heading for the car at one point, and it was fairly blustery myself. It even looked on the television today. It was quite a tough wind down in, I think, into the scoreboard end, was it?
Yeah, it was. And I suppose that's one thing that the girls will look back on, and I'm sure it will be analysed during the week, that when they did have that wind to their back, they slowed the ball down an awful lot. And like, I was even talking to a few people at halftime and afterwards, and it is a thing of that. There's a lot of the girls on that team have come from a system of where we have to hold possession, that I have 15 bodies maybe between me and the goal and I have to hold possession. So there was in that first half a lot of ball going laterally back and forth across the pitch while the girls tried to open up a gap in the Waterford defence. Whereas I suppose with the new rules, if we move that ball faster, and we saw one instance of that in the first half where Danielle O'Leary, she very nearly did breach, but literally the ball did roll to her feet at the halfway line, and she turned and laid it off into Rachel Dwyer. We were in a situation of three forwards, three backs at that stage. Everybody else was hightailing it from the Kerry defence. So in those situations, I'd like to see the girls to take on their players. So even if you're going to get fouled, you'll have the free in. But just take them on, because you never know, you might get that gap that would open up and you'd be in front of goal with just the goalie to beat. So it's just retraining, I think, the mind as to how we are to play, because for 5 or 6 years they have trained in that, no, I don't let the ball go. I hold on possession. I don't fire in a long ball to see if my full forward can get it. We saw in the start of the second half when we tried one of those speculative balls, and Liam McMahon had just literally come up and was standing beside her marker. She'd just been introduced into the game. She caught a lovely ball, and it was Rachel Dwyer was going out off the shoulder of her that she laid it off to, and Rachel was in on goal with just the keeper to beat. So it's just capitalising on those going forward. That's what the girls need to work on, and just changing the mindset from the game that they used to play to the new game with the new rules.
We saw Anna Galvin introduced fairly early in the game. Was that something, was there a little niggle for Jane Lynch in that, or do you think it was more of a tactical thing?
I think it was more of a tactical thing. Kellyanne Hogan was sprung from the bench when Bree McMahon went off. We presumed it was a substitute, that she had picked up an injury, but as it transpired in the second half, it was actually only a blood sub. So maybe they brought Anna on that bit too early, that they were going to bring her on maybe in the second half like they did last week, because I know she's not, hasn't been fully back at full training as much as the rest of the girls. So I think it was more a tactical decision to bring her on, because straight away, as soon as Kellyanne Hogan was moved from the bench and onto the field, Anna Galvin came on. Jane Lynch had done nothing wrong in left, right or other. It was just to put Anna Galvin on, I think, to pick up Kellyanne Hogan. And as it transpired later on in the game, Kellyanne Hogan was reintroduced again in the second half, and it was Cath Lynch that picked her up that time. So, but like Waterford going forwards themselves, Kellyanne Hogan is flying off to Australia, so is Emma Murray. So that makes a very different team for Waterford come championship time for us. I would presume Emma would probably be heading sometime in April, because she'd be heading out as a rookie. Kellyanne Hogan maybe can hold off for the Munster Championship, but not much longer. So we're in the position of that, touch wood, we don't seem to have anyone signed this year to head off down under. So it's building that squad, talking to the players today. Like, yes, you still have Ashley O'Connell. She was there today. She's coming back off injury. Niamh Carmody, I do believe, is coming back into the fray. She's coming back to training this week, I think, hopefully. And you still have the likes of Deirdre Kearney, Emma Costello. If we could persuade one or two others that stepped away last year to come back in, and it's just to bolster that squad, because as we can see, Waterford were able to step it up a gear those last 10-15 minutes. And like Waterford were, Kerry, maybe 3-4 years ago, where we were gunning for every team and we wanted to be the top dog. So as it stands at today, Waterford are top of the Division 1. They have their two wins. Nobody else has the two wins in the Division 1. And I think realistically, yes, look, of course it would be fabulous to get into another league final, but I think eyes must be on championship and building towards that, and really just maintaining Division 1 status. So heading out against the next day against Meath, they had an impressive win today out against Dublin, but I think conditions were poor up there. I just saw the last maybe 15 minutes of that game when I got home, but conditions seemed to be poor up there. And I'd say Meath made use of the wind they had in the first half and went in with a healthy lead against Dublin, but Dublin are a very, very experimental side, as we saw last week.
Yeah. From Waterford's standpoint, look, I could see in the post-match interviews they kind of had this thing on them that it was 7 years since they'd beaten Kerry in 2019, and to come down to do that in kind of Fitzgerald Stadium, you know, they were mentioned there was a couple of girls going off to do their mock exams tomorrow inside in school. So that's a huge, you know, result for them so early in the year as well, and that'll only breed confidence, especially if they are set to lose a couple to Down Under as well.
Yeah, look, it will. And look, Waterford have been threatening the last couple of years. You go back 20 years ago, Waterford were the team to beat. Maybe even 30 years ago. Sorry, I'm showing my age now. but they were the team to beat under Michael Ryan in those times. But no, they have been threatening the last couple of years. They were just missing one or two key link players. And even we saw that last year in that Munster final. It was purely experience that got Kerry over the line that day. And Kerry had been Waterford trying to make the breakthrough for a couple of years. So you do get swings, and like we will see, does the effect of Emma Murray and Kellyanne Hogan leaving, does it really affect them an awful lot? I know they're already down one of the Murray triplets. To lose a second one, that leaves just Katie there on the wing, and Kellyanne Hogan is an inspirational player for them. But you still have the likes of Tara McGrath playing for them, Lauren McGregor up in the full forward line, and then Breed McMahon. She actually broke her bone in her foot before the Munster final last year. I think it was in the last game of Cork in the round robin game. So she missed that Munster final last year, and she is an impressive player. And like, she came back on after taking whatever knock she did have in the first half. I'm presuming it was used as a blood sub, and she came back on in the second half, and like, she took the opportunity of the goal well. It was, we were exposed at the back and she chipped it in over the keeper. Another day that might have hit the crossbar. We saw Schieffer try it with a free kick and it just hit off the crossbar. So sometimes the luck goes your way, but Waterford are, they are building, yeah, and they are coming, and they have strength, and they're well able. And Waterford have always been able to score goals. That's the, yeah, one thing about Waterford. They've always got those goals, and goals do win games.
They have them in them. Breda, thanks a million. We have to go for news at 7 o'clock, but we'll have you back on next week, of course, to review the Kerry Ladies against Meath. That's on next weekend. We go for news at 7.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Plenty of your comments still coming in on everything Kerry football and hurling and everything else. Two pointers were there for Donegal as well if they had the shooters. So what's sauce for the goose should be sauce for the gander. That's from Barry McLister. And yeah, most definitely Kerry well able to take those two pointers yesterday. Good evening to everyone on the panel. I was in Donegal yesterday, had good banter with Donegal supporters. First thing one of them said was when they found out that David wasn't playing was that that's at least 6 points for us. Overall, good performance by Kerry away, great by Shawnee, covered every blade of grass. And that's John, and fair play to you, John, for making the journey up to Ballyshannon. I said I go up to the soccer games in Ballybuffet, and it's not for the faint heart. It is a long old spin, and hope everyone, the Kerry supporters that went up, made it home safe and sound after a long old journey, and hopefully a weekend. It felt like a nice weekend actually, with these early kind of season bank holiday as well, so kids off school and stuff today as well, so probably a nice one to bring the family up to and visit maybe a part of Ireland that people hadn't got up to before in Donegal. Keep your comments coming into us. It is 083 300 300 on text or WhatsApp, or you can call the studio 066 712 3666. And I say, if you want to touch base with anything maybe midweek or anything else, if there's any sporting achievements we've missed out on or anything, do always get in touch with us, terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. We try to be open to every sort of sport on this programme, and I think we do try to do it justice for the majority of the time anyway, in a good mix of sports. As you mentioned, the mix of sports, we've got hurling, soccer and snooker all in this hour, so it is important to, I suppose, keep the net cast out for all different sort of sports going on in the kingdom. We have a great record of sporting achievements in this county. Now, it was to be heartache for our 14 man Kerry hurlers on Sunday. Westmeath secured a late equaliser to deny John Griffin's side a second win in a row in Division 2 in a game that Kerry looked like they were going to be going to win at 1.6 points up, even down to 14 men, but Westmeath battled hard and kept themselves in it and got that equaliser very late on the line to look back at that. And I met him in Austin Stack yesterday. I thought he was doing a quick runner with 10 minutes to go, but it turned out he was only heading over towards the stand. He was getting a bit somber, I think, in the terrace. Richard, if we're on, how are you?
Very well, thank you. I got a bit exciting there at one stage, so
I saw you moving. I said you're heading home early now, and I was going to call you out, but then I met you after, so I couldn't even do that today. That's exactly it. Look, Mustard, in the end, look, a draw for a 14 man side, you'd be happy enough with that, but kind of a glass half empty look at it now, when you thought that Kerry could and potentially should have won it as well.
Yeah, if you said to me yesterday morning, Ivan, that Kerry would have been down to 14 players and would secure a draw against Westmeath, I'd have taken it. Because obviously Westmeath were red-hot favourites coming into this game. But and Westmeath started really well. Kerry got back into it, I suppose, we needed the goal. But then, I suppose, you know, the 28th minute, we were down to 14. And, people were saying, well, this is going to put us under pressure. But then we battled away with 14 players, some fantastic performances. But I suppose at the end, then I suppose, I know the ref had his hand over his eyes shielding from the sun, but I suppose there was a Seamus Darby moment where there was a push on the Kerry player, wasn't spotted, yeah. And we took their chance and over the latch and final whistle. So that was it. Disappointing. It's amazing just to say like that, having secured a draw against a quality team like Westmeath, that we're disappointed. Well, it just shows the fantastic performance that Kerry put in yesterday. It was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, I personally thought the first half, it kind of took a while to get going. And I've heard people say today that the second half was very poor, but I thought the second half was enthralling, to be totally honest. Really got stuck into it. There was quite a number of wides from both teams, which you might expect at this stage of the league campaign, which started, it is early. But I thought the second half, even from more of a neutral standpoint, it was a great display.
Yeah, it was a great old battle, you know. And look, I suppose, we have to be fair to Westmeath, had their chances, and I suppose if they'd found the net there, he'd a great chance, or even tapped it over the bar there towards the very end, just before they're sending off. If he took his chance there, we might have been leaving Osnastack Park with empty pockets. So I suppose, but do you know what really impressed me yesterday, Evan, was the physicality of Kerry.
Yes.
You know, a couple of times there, our backs were coming out and people were saying, oh, you know, it's risky coming out. But they used a great physical strength to actually burst out of defence and carry the ball. That really impressed me. But not just them, and I think Jack Goulding did it as well. You know, or Kevin, I should say. Absolutely fantastic performance. Really, our physicality was really good. Tom Doyle again there yesterday. Our own Mike Lean, I have to say, Michael really battled well. But it was a fantastic team performance. And the backs were really, really good. You know, they were tight. It was great to see O'Sheen go on a few runs as well because, you know, he's a strong man, O'Sheen Manson. Mm. Even at underage, we used to be playing Abidorny. You know, it's very hard to hold a man, you know, but he's physically very strong. And yesterday he showed that strength as well, which was fantastic. And, you know, when the ball went in, you know, Dan Casey, big man inside, and obviously Michael Slattery as well. Very unlucky now to get a goal. Got the ball out on the wing, turned his man, went in, and unfortunately he couldn't finish it. But he's dangerous as well. But, you know, it was and the subs that came on as well. A fantastic performance.
Yeah, that was one thing that was listening to the crowd kind of saying was the full forward line. You'd hopefully get a couple of more scores and Daniel Casey not getting one. It was just kind of the game sort of almost kind of, I wouldn't say bypassed the full forward line. That's kind of the wrong thing to say, but maybe didn't utilise it to the full strength that we have inside there with the high balls in, because when a few went in, we were well able to win them inside as well. But one thing that really kind of stuck out to me, Restard, was obviously Westmeath hadn't played last week, so I'll take that for granted. But I thought Kerry had a way better kind of first touch, gathering the ball first time. There was kind of Westmeath, often the ball came into man, it ended up on the ground or it was dropped or it was spilled. We saw the goalkeeper knock out a 65 out of the hand and stuff like that. They were a small bit scrappy, but Kerry looked very, very sharp on that kind of first touch.
Yeah, I thought, again, to go back to the physicality, I thought when Westmeath man got the ball yesterday and he should have cleared it or should have passed it off, he was often blocked down. And the Kerry lads, the intensity was unbelievable because they harried and harried and harried, and they made life very difficult for the Westmeath lads. And that level of intensity and that level of work rate, I thought was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I was terrorist side now, and I heard Shane Brick was very, very vocal on the sideline, which is great to see. And any time there was Westmeath were running at Kerry, all he was shouting was the word contact. So you know, just that was going to show they were in a physical battle, and you know, putting in a tackle if their man scored or whatever else, it was getting, you know, shoulder to shoulder or get some bit of a touch in their man just to, you know, to say that they were still in the game as well. So good to see that coming from the sideline as well.
Yeah, and as I said, to go back to what I was saying about how physical we were, Kerry put in some great tackles yesterday, some really bone-crunching tackles, and that was great to see because I suppose in the past we've been pushed around a bit and maybe we've been a bit light and other teams have sort of maybe, you know, bullied us a bit and been physically more aggressive. But I thought it was Kerry that brought the aggression yesterday and the physical strength. And as I say, even coming out of defence, the bravery of coming out of defence, it showed a lot of strength. And, you know, but going back to what you were saying about the forwards, exactly. If you could, I suppose they had a sweeper yesterday, Westmeath, and unfortunately we couldn't get the ball in over that, which was a bit disappointing, because I felt that if the ball went into O'Sheen or Mike in the two corners, or Dan inside, there was always going to be danger because, you know, as I said, when Michael Slattery got the ball one stage there, and actually he did it more than one occasion where he got the ball. He got it in the second half as well, and at least two occasions, I think, and over by the terrace, and he ran at the Westmeath lads, and they found him difficult to handle.
Absolutely. I suppose the real kind of key in the game was Ronan Walsh's red card. He had 1-1 to his name. He'd missed a couple of frees. No, they weren't easy frees by any means, but he'd 1-1 on the board and kind of got sent off in the first half. You know, we see in hurling, like if a man goes off, unless you're maybe Dublin against Limerick in an All-Ireland quarter-final, it's very, very hard to kind of, especially in the first half, no matter if it's the first minute or just before the whistle, but losing a man so early is hard. But Kerry really kind of regrouped themselves. We saw Conor Bahan kind of go down, the message come onto the pitch, regrouped until half time, and then they came out kind of a renewed sense of energy in the second half. And you know, to battle so hard with 40 men for so long is a good sign for things to come for Tweek side as well.
Oh, I mean, like you go down to 40 men in you know, in the 28th minute, and then you're disappointed that you didn't win the game. You know, that's amazing. That's just an indication of the work that the Kerry guys put in yesterday. But yeah, it was unfortunate. The first one, I suppose, he went up and there was a touch, first one. Second one then, you know, I was talking to Wes Meathman afterwards, who was actually a bit irate with the referee. But he said to me, and we're just chatting afterwards, he was just pointing out that there was a couple of tackles and a few frees Wes Meath didn't get. But he said, I didn't think your man deserved to be sent off. I don't think he deserved to get the second yellow. You know, at the end of the day, I suppose, yes, it galvanised the rest of the guys. Now, with regard to the frees, they weren't easy frees. And I was just saying to a guy there, keep in mind, if he could get an easy free just to settle him. But he got a lovely free from the sideline, all right. Very unlucky then with another one down by the dugout. He hit the post. And then O'Sheen took over, and he was unlucky with one. But then the second, he got a massive free there at the start of the second half. Massive, a monster strike. So yes, you know, but Westmeath, maybe it was a difficult day. There was a bit of a tricky breeze, but Westmeath had a fair few wides as well, and close in ones as well that they missed, including one that dropped short to Connor.
Mm-hmm. A couple of more players that stood out to me were starred. I think Kevin Gooney had a great game midfield as well. Jordan Brick was lively. It's to be fair, I think everyone from 1 to 15 and the subs that came on really did their job. And again, hurling isn't a game to be a man down in at all. It's a game you need everybody on the pitch, and it's so fast paced. I'd say there's a few sore bodies today after it.
Absolutely, but that's the nature of it, you know. Just a bit disappointed. I mean, it's amazing that we're sitting here and we're saying we're disappointed we didn't get the win. But look, the performance was fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. And they're in great shape. The physicality yesterday was encouraging. But I thought, to be honest with you, I mean, Westmeath would be a step ahead of them. That's what the pundits were saying. But it was Kerry that brought the aggression yesterday. So now, you know, we face London. What I'm really looking forward to is the away game to Laois, and I know the Kerry footballers are in Croke Park at 7 o'clock that evening, so we'll be going to Laois for the game at 2. So it'd be great if the Kerry fans going to Croke Park could stop off on the M7 and go to support the hurlers on the 21st. That'd be fantastic. Looking forward to that game, because Laois yesterday failed to score a goal against Derry. Derry were very defensive yesterday, but Laois beat Derry by 10 points and Kerry, I suppose, you know, we scored 5 goals against Derry. So, look, we won't take anything for granted. As I say, I know Derry were very defensive yesterday, which I suppose forced Laois to go for points rather than to trying to be walking their way in for goals. But looking forward to the London game, that's the first thing, next Saturday at 12:30. And then Laois, and then Mayo at home, and then we have Meath away.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be, from here, looking at yesterday's performance, you know, it's, you know, last year we went up to the Laois game, it was a tough day at the office, but looking forward to this game now, and looking at yesterday's performance against Westmeath, I'm hopeful. And, you know, we got a few lads back as well. The likes of Jason Diggins, big strong man, James O'Connor back as well, and Michael Lean, you know, as I mentioned, strong men. But especially, I think, Jason inside. Jason is a pillar inside, and he's a strong man in there as a sweeper, like, you know, and he's physically, he's immense inside in the half-back line.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's London up next. I suppose from a championship perspective, hard to believe that London are playing Joe McDonagh hurling this year, Kerry playing in a tier below them. So everyone kind of hears London coming over and just think it's kind of a foregone conclusion, but it'll be nothing but, I think it'll be a fascinating encounter next Saturday, again in Ossetstack Park, a nice early throw-in time as well at 12:30.
That's right, as they say, you never know what London are going to bring, do you know what I mean? So I think London drew yesterday and...
drew with Mayo, yeah.
They drew with Mayo and they were beaten by Meath. London will bring a good physical battle. Down through the years, I've always seen that London have big physical players, you know, really strong. So they'll bring a good physical battle to Ossetstack Park next Saturday. But we have to be ready for them. But... I think this, from what I've seen so far, the game against Tipperary, the game against Derry and yesterday, I'm very impressed. And very impressed with the conditioning as well, the physical strength of the Kerry team. And just the application as well. So, look, we won't count our chickens, as I say, but look, it's looking good. We're in good shape. and we're hurling well. You know, a bit disappointed. We had a lot of wides yesterday. So had Westmeath. So just, I suppose we just need to sharpen those up a wee bit, you know. And but and then two goals as well yesterday was good. And unlucky not to get the third one. But, you know, great start to the league anyway, Ivan.
Yeah, it most definitely is a start. You mentioned the Laois game, and I, again, don't want to be kind of poking the ball too far down the road, if you would, but look, that Laois game could be crucial on two counts. That obviously, if you got a win up there, you'll be near enough in pole position going into the Mayo and the Meath game to be in a league final and looking at Division 1B next year. If you're to lose up there, it's about keeping the score nice and tight, because again, people have drawn a line with Kerry, Laois and Westmeath as being one section of this Division 2 and the others being the other. So you'd imagine that two teams are going to finish level on points. It could come down to score difference again, a couple of weeks away, but I'm sure one that you know, Tweek and his management team be looking at now as a crucial game in this league campaign. And you have to remember the top two go up to Division 1B as well, and we've seen, you know, down running Wexford very close. It's very doable, and it's there for Kerry to get up to that 1B again.
Yeah, Wexford, and I have to be very careful because I have cousins in Wexford, but they've been very lucky. They were very lucky against Antrim, and they were lucky as well against Down yesterday above Ballycran, the Trust League. So it just shows, you know, the Down have moved on, and the best of luck to them, you know, Ron Sheehan, the lads, they're a great bunch, keep the hurling going up there, and Kildare as well. But I suppose that's exactly, now yesterday, a win yesterday would be massive, because, you know, it would really have, it put us, you know, up there with Laois. But look, we got the point, we can't complain, because as I say, If the Westmeath man had settled himself and rattled the net towards the end there, around the time of their sending off, we'd be going out there with a pokey full of with empty pockets. So look, we'll take the point, but the big score against Derry will be very important, you know. And I suppose Laois didn't get that big score against Derry, that scoring difference. So and then how Westmeath will fare as well would obviously be very, very important. But even if we don't win against Laois, you know what I mean? You know, it obviously, will if Laois beat Westmeath, that will be another thing to look at, you know. And you could see Laois on top and Kerry and Westmeath maybe level on points, and then it'll go down to scoring difference. So it'll be very, very interesting. So even if we don't win against Laois, I think that, you know, we'll be fighting out for second place with Westmeath. But look, they're in it to win it, so they go up there to win. And I think, looking at yesterday's performance, I'd be, you know, I wouldn't be as worried as I was going up to Laois last year.
Yeah,
they're in a good place, the Kerry hurlers.
A Laois Westmeath draw would be right spanner in the works as well. So 12:30 Solar start next Saturday. Hopefully the Kerry footballers, yeah, of course, have the weekend off as well. So a great chance. Half 12 is a nice little time as well. You're up out of the bed and after the porridge, and you can get into town and watch the game in your home, nice and early as well from it. So a great opportunity, and again to see them up against London. It kind of, it's a, we'll say it's a unique sort of opportunity, but it's kind of a, London don't often come to Kerry to play either a football or hurling game, so a good chance to maybe see them as well. So half 12 in Ostertag Park. I'm sure more the merrier. We're all welcome to come down to Ostertag Park to watch it.
Absolutely, it'd be great to get a good turnout, as I said, because, you know, I think that, and you know, next Saturday is important, but I go back again to the 24th, you know, if people are going to Croke Park, leave a bit early, have the porridge a bit earlier, and get up there, get off the M7 and support the Kerry Hurlers on the 24th, because I'll be going up there, we'll be going up there to the support the Kerry Hurlers, and then out the gap and heading to Croke Park. So I'll be supporting both teams on that day, and I hope that more Kerry fans will support both teams on that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Restart, pleasure as always, Gurv Míle Maggus, and we'll be back chatting next Monday after hopefully a victory over London next Saturday.
Mighty. Thanks, Ivan.
Brilliant stuff. Richard Ferron there, good hurling analyst on Terrace Talk. Met him at the game yesterday as well. And no, I promise you, he wasn't doing a runner. He was just heading for the stand. But it was absolutely glorious, I must say, in Ostertag Park yesterday. The sun, it was just the St. Bridget's Day, I suppose. The sun was out. It felt very spring weather. There was no need for the big coat or the woolly hat in the terrace, which is strange for this time of year. Really, really great conditions for the game yesterday. Really enjoyed that one on the terrace. horses in Ossenstack Park. We're going to a break and we're heading to Como in Italy next to hear how a Clarny woman got on out there. She was selected as one of the coaches to go out for an international coaching program out on the banks of Lake Como in Italy.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sport.
Now you're very welcome back to the programme. It's Ivan with you until 8 o'clock. Keep listening in for that chat we had with Ken Doherty. Chatted him a little earlier on today. He was on the move from coming home from the German Masters, of course, which took place yesterday. And we'll be chatting to him about an upcoming event in Ballydesmond on Friday night, of course. Just on the wrong side of the Kerry-Cork border, but still plenty of listeners out that direction to Radio Kerry, which is great, and a lovely little fundraiser coming up. But we're now going to chat to the Clarny woman who's home from her trip to Lake Como, and it wasn't out eating spaghetti and pasta and pizza, I'd imagine. It seems like there was a fairly rigorous timetable of everything going on as the head of Women Erasmus programme brought them out to Como, first of its kind for the FAI as well, and also joined on the Nile, on the line rather, by Niall O'Regan, head of education and development with the FAI, and as well with FIFA technical leadership. You're very welcome to the program, Ramona. I'm going to chat to you first. Look, obviously, to have a Kerry woman picked amongst the 10 or 12 to go out is a fantastic achievement for yourself, of course. But in all, for the FAI to get all this over the line, fantastic achievement. And great to see you all had a fantastic time over there, and like that, plenty of learnings from your experience, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be selected. It was a great opportunity. I think it all started in 2025 when I started on the UEFA U2B licence, and all the work was probably done behind the scenes with Niall O'Regan at that time in regards, you know, putting the programme together with Lurgus and Erasmus and the funding and everything that goes on behind the scenes. So I have to start with giving him big credit for that. But yeah, very excited. There was 10 of us on the trip over, female only, and you know, great experiences, opportunity, mentoring, job shadowing. In hindsight, coming home now, it's hard to believe, you know, the 7 days that we were actually over there, so much was crammed in. We had a busy schedule and an itinerary, and just great opportunity, great learning, and it was just great to share it with the women that, you know, I've known over the years and got to know a few many. Yvonne Tracy, one of our former Irish internationals, was there as well. That's won everything on paper you can with Arsenal, and she's just been a stalwart for Ireland. And just being in a room with some of these ladies, it was just absolutely amazing to experience it all. And, you know, great support from everybody at home in Killarney and Kerry and all over Ireland, and especially Master Gaeha, my own football club in Killarney as well too. Very exciting.
Yeah, I was flicking through the itinerary, and obviously you said it was fairly hands-on, but so many, you know, things you just wouldn't get to see normally. And you look at Como, big club obviously in Italy, with the women's team, the men's team, obviously the academies and everything else, facilities second to none over there. So I'm sure plenty you can kind of take back with you, and kind of learnings from what they were doing over there and what could be adapted to suit the Irish game here as well.
Yeah, most definitely. If you look at the schedule that we had, you know, from day one, it was an introduction, getting behind the scenes access, getting first team experience, you know, job shadowing with the coaches, first team manager. A big part of it as well was when the women's team were due to play Bologna on Sunday, we had done analysis on both Como and Bologna in advance of that, and got a great opportunity to present to them in regards, you know, the opposition and themselves. But just great experience from the women's Primavera team to get an access to the under-17s, the 19s, a presentation from Heather O'Reilly, who was just my icon growing up. Not to give my age away, but, you know, I had watched her, won 3 Olympic gold medals with the USA, and she was one of these players that I was just in awe of when she had won the Women's World Cup. And the FAI gave me the opportunity with the rest of the girls to present her with the Irish jersey, and sitting down having a cup of coffee with Dominica Conce, who's plays with Slovenia women's team, and we were talking about the 4-0 win at the start of the season in February last year, and then Ireland winning in June, and just getting the access to the players and the job shadowing and trying to bring everything back, you know, that you can try and influence your own game, your own club facilities, and you know, having that cultural experience as well too, with, you know, bringing different ideas about, you know, what you can do to introduce to, you know, your own coaching environment, getting the access to AC Milan's training grounds, Como's training grounds. It was just huge, and, you know, I'd highly recommend anyone to take that opportunity. Niall will probably speak more about it with, you know, Lurgos and Erasmus, but it was just, you know, an experience that I had never had in all my years of coaching, you know, that we had done a trip like that. And I probably thought at my age, I was probably never going to get a trip like that. So, yeah, a lot of learning. Have met up with a couple of the coaches during the week in my own club, went back training on Thursday night, and spoke about a couple of things that we do really well in Ireland, and little changes that I had seen that maybe we might just think about for the rest of the season ahead, what we can do just to give our own players just a little bit of, I suppose, extra experience from what I had taken over there. We do a lot of things really well here in Ireland, and it's just to make a couple of changes as well too, and look at the facilities that we have as well.
Yeah, 100%. At that moment, I'm going to bring in Niall, as you mentioned. Niall, you're welcome to the programme. I suppose, talk to us a small bit about Lurgos and the Erasmus programme and how all this came about.
Thanks very much, Ivan. Delighted to be on with you. Well, really, it's something where in April of last year, we launched our education and development strategy. And really, what we wanted to start to do was look at actually how we support coaches that have come through our formal education. So not just from a CPD perspective, which would be a mandatory requirement, but more of an informal development, and actually looking at, well, what opportunities can we give coaches around the country that they may not have access to, or they may not have the opportunities to, based on their networks or financial restrictions or just simple access to professional clubs. So we were lucky enough to have a number of conversations with multiple stakeholders, UEFA, FIFA, Sport Ireland, and Erasmus and Lurgos themselves. And this is just one example of a pilot program that we've done. We obviously looked at how we'd select the candidates, and a key part of that was the grouping being part of the women's only UEFA UB license. That was a challenge in itself, because the commitment to do one of these programs requires you to do a day of travel either side of a 7-day experience. So a number of the women on the UB weren't able to go, so that was difficult managing that disappointment. But then we sort of alleviated that by allowing them to be the ones that self-regulated and nominated somebody from their club or their community of practice to take their place in their stead. So we ended up with the 10 women being able to go and spend the week in Como. And really, it was all around job shadowing. What we want to have in Ireland as part of our strategy is a head of football in every one of the clubs, all the way from grassroots all the way up into the League of Ireland. And we really want to have a focus on how many of those heads of football can be women. So we wanted to get an opportunity to do some job shadowing and get an opportunity for women to actually live the life of a full-time professional. And FC Como were brilliant. We were very lucky to have the relationship with Heather, but also the relationship with David Bell, a former employee at the FAI, who's actually working with the club at the moment in time. So everything really aligned up, and Lurgos and Erasmus have just been simply amazing. They fully funded the entire experience. There's a lot of work that goes into it from the coach's perspective in terms of assignments, tasks, and a lot of documentation to report back and disseminate their learnings. But it's really worthwhile and something we're very, very proud of. And it's definitely something that we're going to continue to grow and expand, with the hope of having at least one, if not two, of these experiences annually for women's coaches. And then even look into it, expanding it from a youth development perspective for youth coaches within the grassroots game within the League of Ireland, and really try and maximise the funding that's out there and give as many coaches this type of an experience.
Yeah, Niall, I'm just going to hold it there. I just have to take a quick ad break on Terrace Talk this evening, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll continue this chat after we take these.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now, you're welcome back to the programme. We're in the midst of our chat with Ramona Keogh and, of course, Niall O'Regan, who's the Head of Education and Development with the FAI. Niall, I was just going to ask before we took that break, I suppose, you know, what can the you know, Ramona and the other nine women who went out to Como, like, bring back to their clubs now from an experience like this? And I suppose, obviously, you look at the facilities and everything else, but even from probably a coaching standpoint, plenty learned, I'd imagine, from you know, the Italians have a different side of the game to what we have here at home as well.
Definitely, and I think what's one of the interesting things is also the learning of, you know, how good they are and how good at what they do. I think Ramona spoke about the fact that they had to do a tactical analysis presentation of FC Como themselves and present that to the manager. That's an extraordinarily challenging thing to do, because you're going to be talking about areas you would exploit or areas of weakness, and to be confident enough and to be able to do that from a professional level enough. I know the feedback that they got was phenomenal, and the manager themselves took so much out of it. So it's really both ways, and I think we deliberately chose a club that's aspirational in terms of they've got a very specific plan of what they want to achieve over the next 10 years. They're 3 years in existence from a professional capacity, and Heather is very clear that they don't do everything perfect. So it was a really good alignment in terms of where we are in football as well, in terms of where we want to go from an academy structure and how we want to develop the women's game. So it was really an opportunity to share. It was probably more of a sharing experience than us specifically learning from them or them from us. So really it was about taking as much as we can. I was amazed with how open they were as well, which is a key part of the learning experience. Everybody in the club was so welcoming, and all of the feedback from the outset was that they wanted to take as much as they could from it as well. So it was a really beneficial experience for both.
Yeah. Ramona, just from, I suppose, your own perspective, you know, if this opportunity came up for someone else that, you know, you knew around you, or maybe someone else in the club to go out and do it, I'm sure you'd fully recommend it, that it's a great thing to kind of get involved in, and obviously, you know, maybe rewards you for washing those Maskia jerseys or whatever else, that, you know, there is nice things you can go off and do as well, and plenty more coaching experience and learning from that as well.
Yeah, and I think for all of us that were on the trip, you know, the understanding of what we knew in advance, you know, of such a great program that Lurgus have and Erasmus, and just the work behind the scenes and what it entails and getting the funding, it's absolutely huge. But once you get the opportunity and the experience, it's just magnificent. I definitely highly recommend it. And, you know, it's making that connection to clubs over there. We got first team experience, you know, got an opportunity to speak with backroom staff, learn so much from it. And that's exactly what the program is about. It's that experience and that opportunity to travel and, you know, to enhance any opportunity that you can for growth and personal development, and bring home the ideas and the implementations. And, you know, there's no club too small that could go and, you know, meet a club like this and could not but learn anything from them. Just the education and the mentoring alone was absolutely outstanding. And, you know, to do it with a group of women that, you know, we get the opportunity to come back. And yesterday we all met up at the National Coaching Conference and we had a good chat about things. And, you know, the amount of questions we had from other coaches and networking around the room yesterday was huge. Niall will probably, you know, touch on that side of it. But the amount of questions yesterday just about the Como experience, and Niall presented on it yesterday, was just outstanding.
Yeah, I'm going to come in on that night again. Just, I suppose, we had a lot of our own coaches from Kerry FC up at that as well yesterday, and good learning experience for them up in the Aviva Stadium. So it's all coming together nicely ahead of a new League of Ireland season starting up this week as well.
Definitely, yeah. I think we had 8 of the Kerry Academy coaches, so it was great to see that number of people travelling up for it. And I know that one of them said, I don't want to say his name badly, but Vassin, as close as I would get from an accent point of view, got certified with the Green Shoots, which is another example of one of the informal development programmes we did for coaches in the youth academies, where they were brought in and they worked together and they did some psychometric testing, and we did some individual profiling tools, and we did some development opportunities, and it was all fully funded. The whole idea of it is that we really want to start to support our coaches that are actively volunteering and working within the academy structure itself. Mm-hmm. So look, it's an exciting time. I think yourself, you're probably getting excited thinking to kick off. I think it's UCD away from home, and then on the 20th you've got Lone at home down in Kerry, and I know myself from being at the games in Kerry, it's just a brilliant atmosphere in the stadium. It's always nearly fully sold out, and it's just great. Like, we're all really excited. I think the League of Ireland is in a fabulous place, and I think the League of Ireland has done amazing things. You look at the funding that they've gotten and the work that went on behind the scenes from the likes of Pat Duffy, that was a catalyst to it, and Will Clark and Mark and all of the team in the League of Ireland, and Shane Robinson from an FAI perspective, and now John Martin as Director of Football. It's a really exciting time, and I just think this season is going to be, again, one where fans will hopefully show that by walking into the grounds and going to the games and supporting the teams. And it's great to enjoy global football, but there's nothing like live football and football on your doorstep. So it'd be great to have the League of Ireland back.
Yeah, absolutely. And local lads and ladies represented as well. And of course, the Development League for the women this year as well. Niall and Ramona, thanks so much for joining us. We're out of time. Really appreciate you coming on. And we'll be keeping an eye on progress on the Lairgus and the FAI, the Erasmus programme and everything else in the future. But thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks very much.
Thank,
we'll take a break and we'll be back with Ken Doherty after we take these.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sport.
Now, the 1997 World Snooker Champion. Yeah, hard to believe, 1997. 30 years ago next year. Mr. Ken Doherty, he's going to be coming to Ballydesmond, just over the border from us here in Kerry. There's still plenty of people living just outside Ballydesmond who have a Kerry address, so we can half claim them as our own. But he's coming for to raise good money for the liver unit in St. Vincent Hospital and, of course, Aoife's Heart Fund. A few games of pool, pitcher opportunities, the World Championship trophy, everything's going to be there. Delighted to be joined on the line by Mr. Ken Doherty. Ken, you're very welcome. It's nice to see you coming back down this close to Kerry. We'll get you to Kerry at some stage, but you're getting close enough.
Listen, I love Kerry. I've been, you know, coming to Kerry for the best part of 40 years, I think, you know. Yeah. And we still come every summer just to come down to around Killarney, play a course to, you know, the likes of Killarney. You can't beat that course, both courses, O'Mahony's and Killeen. You know, of all the courses I've played all over the world, I think they're my two favourite courses, you know. So Kerry holds a deep affection for me, you know, and of course, even though we're just over the border at the Cork, but Ballydesmond, I just love coming down that way and just having a great time. And I'm sure Ballydesmond will be no different. We're going to have a good bit of fun, bit of pool, a few stories, a bit of crack, and have a good time.
Yeah, I remember, Ken, I'm a nephew of Connie Sullivan, but I got nominated to play you in a fundraiser a couple of years ago now, and I remember you were chatting to Rachel, and I missed a handy enough red, and you told me I should just stick to the broadcasting, and here I am, about whatever, maybe 5-6 years later, I gave up the snooker, but I'm still playing, the radio. But they are a good night for fun, Ken, aren't they? And even for yourselves, it goes to show, if you're travelling the country and the world doing these kind of testimonial sort of events, you must enjoy them.
Yeah, well, you made a good choice, let me tell you.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not like what you'd see on the TV, you know, with the snooker or whatever. It's just a bit more relaxed, a bit of fun, a bit of banter, having a little bit of crack with the audience. I'm telling a few, you know, stories and experiences like of my life, you know, through the snooker and even through commentary now on BBC and ITV and stuff like that over the last few years. But and if we raise a few bob for the chosen charities, that's what a bonus that is, you know. But yeah, good fun, and encourage anybody to come along, even if they don't like snooker or whatever, you know, they don't like me, just come along just for the stories and a bit of crack and a bit of banter as well, you know.
Yeah, that always comes from them. I mentioned in the intro, Ken, it's 30 years next year since the World Championship.
I know.
It doesn't feel like that, but hard to believe it, isn't it? 30 years next year.
I know. It's incredible, isn't it? And considering I was only 10 years of age when I won the World Championship, you know. So, it's quite frightening, you know, how quick the time goes, you know. And amazing when when I came back to Dublin, you know, with the open top bus, and I went back to the Lord Mayor's residence, the Mansion House in Dublin, and the place was packed full of different people and dignitaries or whatever. But one of them, the chief of police, said to me, chief superintendent from Harcourt Police Station, and I'm sure a lot of your followers from Kerry and Cork will know where Harcourt's police station is, because it's right beside Copperface Jack's there in Harcourt Street, you know. And the chief of police said to me, he says, you know what, Doherty? He says, when you were playing Hendry in the final, he says, between the hours of 7 and 10, we didn't have one phone call into the central police station in Dublin. He says, you stopped crying for 3 hours, he says. You should be on television more often, because you gave me a very, very easy job that night.
Hey, what are you going to add? A few more world championships and might have less in the country.
Yeah, you said, yeah, that's right, yeah. I know.
But it is hard to believe. Time does fly, and we often say that, Ken, as well. But
yeah.
30 years, I was only a young fella in nappies, but I remember it and kind of the excitement that came around the country that time. And I suppose just from a snooker perspective in the country, of course, we've got young Aaron from Cork who's up and coming. Yeah. But wouldn't it be great for the sport in this country if we had someone look at what Zhao Xingtang did last year for the sport in China and everything else? Wouldn't it be great for the country if we'd someone, you know, to be able to get up to that level again and get that huge interest back amongst the youngsters as well?
Yeah, amazing. I really like Aaron. We're good friends. I like Leon Crowley as well from Cork, who's just on the tour for the first year and is trying to find his feet. But yeah, it would be fantastic. It'd be a great boost for the country again, you know, and it'd be great, sort of interest, get the interest back and see. Even though the interest is there, I mean, snooker has never been in a better place, you know, globally, you know, for interest sake and sort of spectators on TV and attendances and stuff like that. But for our own sort of, our own interests back in our own country, it would be great if someone like Aaron Hill or Leon Crowley or someone else would come along and sort of raise the bar and like try and break into that top 16 and try and challenge for a world championship. You know, I'd love to see either of those players do that, you know.
Yeah, the game is booming, Ken, now. Over the last two weekends in Killarney here, we've had the All-Ireland Championships, the Munsters run the week before, and
kind of excitement in the team
competitions. I know Connie does a great job running them there, and it's been a brilliant watch over the last two weekends and see 15 tables going. The sport's still in a strong place. Mm.
Connie O'Sullivan has done such an amazing job, you know, over the last, as long as I've known him, and I've known Connie for almost the best part of 40 years, but he just loves snooker, pool, and what he does, you know, I know he has a cool club there in Killarney, but what he does with the Munster Championships and the All-Ireland Club Championship that's been going in the Glen Eagle, you know, for years and years and years, and is as strong as ever. Mm-hmm. And he's ran that, you know, like a well-oiled machine now, and he's just been brilliant, you know, for Munster snooker and pool, and for just for all Ireland snooker and pool. He's just been brilliant, and it's one of the things actually I miss, you know, actually as an amateur that I never actually played in, you know. But I've been down, I've seen it. We used to have the Liam O'Connor Trophy in the Glen Eagles there as well that he ran as well, and I managed to win that one year. But it was just fantastic, you know. Connie has been a wonderful servant for snooker and pool over the last 20, 30, 40 years, you know.
Yeah, it's those sorts of competitions you can kind of pick up from the amateurs to see where the game is heading. I suppose, Ken, just back to a world stage, I mean, it's been a fantastic season. There's been so many different winners throughout, and looking at the UK Championship with Mark Selby and, of course, Kieran Wilson winning the Masters only a couple of weeks ago, rather. It's going to be hard to predict who might win this World Championship coming up in April, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many players playing so well. You know, it was great to see Corin get his hands on a major trophy again, one of the Triple Crown events, the Masters. Judd Trump has won his first tournament now. He never won one tournament in 2025, you know, which, you know, normally every year, you know, for the last 5 or 6 years, he's won multiple tournaments, you know. So, but he's coming back into form. Sean Murphy is playing well, you know. Neil Robertson has done so well this year, won that big tournament Riyadh, you know. He's playing with full of confidence. Ronnie, he's sort of in and out, you know, but you don't know what to expect from him. And of course, Zhao Xingtang, can he beat the Crucible course? That's going to be the big burning question as well come April and sort of going into the first week of May. It's going to be quite incredible. But yeah, I think it's really sort of interesting. There's another few lads on the periphery there, could possibly throw their name into the hat, but those are all the big guys. Mark Selby is probably one of them, you know what I mean? Mark Allen is another possibility. But yeah, it's going to be a fascinating World Championship, and I can't wait for it, you know. 17 days of the Crucible. The contract is up in 2027, so if anybody hasn't hit to the Crucible, you never know. It might be the last year, 2017. I certainly hope not. It's such a special place, and I hope it never leaves the Crucible. But if you haven't been there, go there. Even if you can't get a ticket, just go for a weekend. The atmosphere, the electricity in the city is just second to none. It's amazing, particularly if you're a big single fan.
Yeah, I couldn't recommend it more. Connie brought me over twice when I was younger as well. I've been meaning to get back at some stage. It's a fantastic venue.
Well, I would have given Connie the ticket, so you have to thank me.
There you go. Connie. I appreciate it, Ken. Yeah, he still charged me, though.
probably double as well.
Quite possibly, I won't say that. On your own terms, Ken, are you going to be involved in qualifying for this one, or is that out the window at this stage, or how are you fixed?
I'm gonna try. I'm still on the tour, whatever, you know. But listen, you know, whether I do or not, snooker's been great to me. I've been very, very lucky, you know, that I've had such a life with it, you know, and even moving into the sort of broadcasting, I love that part as well, you know. But I'll never forget and appreciate, you know, all the support that I've had, you know, and even though I'm a dove, the support I get from Kerry and from Cork and all over Ireland has been, it's unprecedented, you know, and it's just, you know, I never count myself as a dove. I count myself, I'm Irish, you know, so no matter where I go, I'll always take that cup around Kerry, Cork, you know, to anywhere else, you know. It's just, I love doing it, you know, and I'll never get tired of doing that, you know, and I'm Irish true and true, you know.
You're the only dove we'll shout for down here, Ken.
probably.
Just on the punditry, you enjoy that side of it as well, Ken. I mean, you add plenty, obviously, to the broadcast and we're watching at home, but you can tell by kind of the way you're on it that you do enjoy it, the commentary, and, you know, like John Parrott and Dennis Taylor and everything else. You make good combinations. Yeah.
I have a great time with them, you know, and particularly, you know, for myself and Dennis Taylor, we're up in Uremar now tonight, you know, Uremar State. We're doing a little sort of exhibition to about 400 people. But, you know, for two Irishmen, you know, two world champions like Dennis and myself, you know, and we might be starting off the world championship at the Crucible, you know, the first session or the second session, whatever it might be, the two of us in the commentary box together. It doesn't get much better than that. You know, John Virgo the same, you know, as you said, John Parrott, Steve Davis, Stephen Hendry. But just to be able to do that and talk over the pictures, it's the next best thing to playing. It's not as good as playing, but it's probably the next best thing to it, you know. And I love every minute of it. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Ken, pleasure talking to you. Enjoy your event this evening, and we look forward to Friday night, of course, this coming Friday night. That's Friday the 6th in Ballydesmond as well.
Yeah. Tell them to get practicing. They're playing all right.
There you go, Ken Doherty, always fantastic to chat to him. So open with his time as well. That taking place at 8 o'clock in Ballymacallagas on Friday night in JD's. Tickets available on the door. You can buy a VIP ticket as well for that one if you want to head along. Thanks to everyone this evening. Thanks to Liam and John, of course, looking back at the men's football. Breda for the ladies, Restart for the hurlers, and of course, Niall and Ramona, who are just home from Como. Thanks to Niamh, who produced. Mary is up next with Tog Sus. We'll be back next Monday evening, Lacoon of Day. Kerry Hurlers, of course, and ladies out in action next weekend. The men's footballers taking a well-earned break after two weekends in a row out. But we'll be back next Monday evening from 6 to 8. Do join us then. Salon Gafol.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.